ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Have you ever knowingly or unknowingly bought a fake? Maybe it was a too-good-to-be-true discount fashion item. Or maybe it was a shiny copy of the latest still-in-cinemas movie that you picked up in a far-off market while travelling. Maybe you were buying it, you knew it was a fake, and you just wanted it for the cheaper price. One of our producers, Kenny, remembers wandering a market and having his companion pestered every 3 minutes by sellers trying to flog genuine Rolexes. I mean, I guess no one was fooled, or maybe they were. A recent article highlighting the death of Manchester in England's counterfeit capital got us thinking about, are we all just more savvy to this kind of thing, or has the retail market for things that are cheaper than chips fakes shifted, like so many of these things, to a purely online model? To talk about it and the way these markets operate, where it's all going, I'm joined by Taylor Blackburn, a personal finance expert from Finders, looked at the way that Australians buy these kinds of goods online. Taylor, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Well, good evening.
It's often claimed that these kind of counterfeit markets are fronts for organised crime. Is that right or not?
Well, yeah, I think, law enforcement agencies kind of around the globe will, highlight how these are intertwined. They use the profits to kind of do other illicit activities. So we focus more on the consumer behavior and people, knowingly or unknowingly buying dupes or counterfeit items. It's definitely a murky, unregulated area.
Yeah, it is. In some parts of the world, of course, it's been rife, hasn't it? I mean, Hong Kong, for example, other parts of Asia. Where does this stuff? I mean, if you it's so easy to go into markets there and buy a Rolex watch.
Yeah.
In fact, I was in a market once, and I actually had a genuine watch on my wrist, and the bloke said, "Let's have a look at it." He said, "We can copy that. You won't know the difference." and it will only cost you, like a fraction. Where does this stuff come from, and where does it get made?
Yeah, no, I think we've seen, Chinese manufacturers are probably the leaders at this stage. And it's marketed pretty effectively on TikTok and other social media platforms, and sometimes advertised as, direct to consumer, cutting out the middleman, getting you the bottom dollar. And sometimes what you get is close enough, but a lot of times it leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, I mean, there are these all sorts of commonplace myths around it, aren't there? Oh, I don't know whether they're myths or not, but I remember in the market for women's handbags, for example, which are high-value items.
Oh, yeah.
And, you're talking about, Louis Vuitton and your Chanel handbags and so on. You can buy those, you used to be able to buy them in Asian markets, for a fraction. They looked pretty much the same. And often the story was, they come from the same production line. It's just that they, some people get access to the production line and just run it a bit longer, and then they skim off the top. So they're exactly the same as the real item. Is that true?
Yeah, well, in some cases, yes. In some cases, it's just like somebody looking at your watch and trying to copy it as best they can. And in some cases, that's really worn as a badge of honor, especially among, some young people. They can talk about it as being a savvy thing. Or it used to be something you would hide if you couldn't buy the real thing and you bought a knockoff. You didn't want anybody to know, but increasingly we anecdotally are hearing stories of young people saying, "No, look at this bag. It looks just like a real one, but I only paid, $100 for it."
That's right. That's right. It's really a statement saying I'm not going along with the marketing of big business, isn't it? It's sort of a political statement, I suppose. Copyright and, passing off and all of that, there are a lot of laws against it. So it's illegal to sell something that's fake, isn't it? All around the world it is. So how do big companies police this?
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, that's the point, is enforcement is the name of the game, and if they can get around it being flagged as a counterfeit thing or something that's you know, that's stealing someone's patent, then it kind of goes on unchecked. So that's why, you know, the online e-commerce, there's a lot more digital loopholes there than if somebody pulls up to a market which is clearly marketing something. And we had a shop here in Sydney about 10 years ago that was kind of doing an exact replica of the In-N-Out Burger
Oh, yeah.
chain, food chain, and they were you know, they got a cease and desist, and you know, we're told to stop doing that. But it's a lot harder if you're selling a bag that looks like a kind of bag online, that nobody can really, you know, go through all of the little ins and outs of it if they're not using any magic words.
You did some research last year into Australian buying patterns. It turns out quite a lot of us are deliberately buying known fakes.
Yeah.
What
So
were the figures on that?
about 1 in 8 Australians, so it's like 2.6 million people, say that they have purchased fake designer goods directly from Chinese manufacturers, and another 16% say they are considering doing it. So that's about 1 in 3 have if we talk if we expand it to dupes, you know, people buying the cheaper alternatives, it's about 1 in 3 who've done it. So sometimes with a dupe, it's just like a, you know, a lip balm or a concealer or a, you know, a bag or a pair of shoes, something like that. But yeah, there's a big market for it, and people are doing it intentionally. Yeah.
That's right, because it's cheaper. And to some extent, do they worry whether it's the same quality?
You know, look, I think you it's buyer beware when it comes to that. I've recently experienced this myself on eBay. I was just buying some Titleist golf balls,
Oh, yeah.
and they're, you know, really good advertised price, and you had them, you know, they were coming from Melbourne, and they came, and some of the balls had, you know, Titleist printed on it twice, you know,
Oh.
like overlapped, and they were clearly not a good quality ball. It was you know, and obviously you can then take that up through eBay and get it refunded and all the rest. But yeah, it's a little different depending on what the item is. So, you know, if you know you're buying a knockoff, you're probably not going to be too surprised if it's pretty crappy. I think that's kind of the Temu
The
sales
team
line
away.
in a way. But you know, you're cheap and cheerful. But it's also a pretty hard to sustain business model.
Do you reckon the manufacturers of these things actually are supplying some of this material? I mean, presumably it's a way to sell it. If they can't
Yeah, I
sell
mean,
it themselves, I mean, they can sell it at a lower price and pretend that it's not theirs, even though it is. I mean,
yeah,
in
well,
your
100%.
Titleist golf ball case, for example, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, there you would imagine that at some stage the you know, the factory, you know, is it's not like that's the only thing it can create and pump out. And if you know, you can get something pretty similar to the real thing, that's what people are after. But you know, talking of the materials, a friend of mine and his parents flew to China to pick out housing materials, and then had them put on a shipping container and sent back, just because it's massively, massively cheaper than you know, going through and buying it here when it's, you know, the exact same product.
Really?
But
What do you mean, housing
you,
materials? You mean like what cladding on something or?
oh no, like all of everything in that you would put in a house if you were building a house, you know, from the dishwasher to the
Oh,
cupboards to
I see. Oh, I see. Cupboards and
yeah,
dishwashers and
went
all
and
that sort
bought
of.
all of the, you know, like buying the raw materials, and they had a builder who they knew could put it together. But you know, if you save a third of the price on the materials, then you're laughing when it comes. But you know, it's not for everybody. It's a pretty intensive exercise with a lot of red tape in between.
Is it legally tricky for people to buy fakes online? No, if they know they're fakes?
Well, I think, you know, the border police are more more focused on the sellers than the buyers. It's another buyer beware thing is if you knowingly are buying something counterfeit, customs can seize it and destroy it when it comes into the country because they want to protect, the people who've spent the money to do it the right way. In that case, you could lose your item and your money, depending on how you bought it and if you can do a chargeback or not.
Yeah, that's right. Once upon a time, it was the bloke down at the market with a big overcoat who'd, open the overcoat and say, look at the watches
That's right.
I've got. But online has changed all of that. It's an anonymous world where you can sell anything, it seems, can't you? I mean, but as you say, particularly out of China, which is the global manufacturer. Do you reckon it happens in Australia with any stuff that's made here?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to call it an overseas problem and put our head in the sand that it's not happening here. But yeah, there are a lot of places that are that are physically making things that are meant to be close. I mean, for goodness sake, a lot of the stuff that you buy at Kmart is often inspired by more expensive luxury things. So, the idea of a counterfeit or a dupe. Being all nefarious is a little misguided, but yeah, when you get online and it's to your point, it says Louis Vuitton on the side, but there's missing a T or there's an extra N, then you kind of you wonder what exactly the quality of or the safety really of what kind of toxic dyes might have been used or if it's an electronic, if it's if it's safe to charge and all those things. Those are the other questions you have to ask
I guess
if
so.
you buy something.
If people care, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Interesting. The decline of the brand. Well, I suppose the brand hasn't declined, hasn't it? But there's also an equally seems strong market growing up alongside it saying, I don't care about the brand.
Yeah, well, in some cases it's that. In other cases, it's trying to buy something that looks like the brand, but
Brand, yeah.
just not being willing to pay
I want the
for
look, not the
that
price.
price. Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly.
All right, Taylor, good to talk. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Great to talk.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.